May the Lord help us to commence our service by singing hymn number 44. Here, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands, and on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. But thanks to God, its loud alarms have warned me of approaching harms. And now, O Lord, my wants I see, lost and undone, I come to thee. Hymn number 44.
Thank you. read together from God's holy word, the book of Esther, chapters 4 and 5. Esther, chapters 4 and 5. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatach and one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatach, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants, and all the people of the king's provinces, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden sceptre, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the sceptre. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Esther came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, If I have found favour in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition, and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up, nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends, and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches, and the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king hath promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, Moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and his friends unto him, Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us, and may he teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we do thank thee for this returning day of rest, this day set apart from the rest of the week, where we seek to enter into thy earthly courts to worship thee. And we do thank thee, Lord, for this gathering today. We pray thy gracious influence, we pray thy gracious presence, and may it be unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We pray, Lord Jesus, that thou would put within us each a spirit of true worship and praise this day, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we may come in a right frame of mind as we enter into thy house. Oh, we thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies. We thank thee that we can come into thy house this day. We would remember those that are unable to be here. And we pray for that one who is laid aside. We pray for her in her old age, that thou wilt visit her and be with her. And we pray for each, Lord, that thou wilt so work in our hearts that we may know thee as our Saviour and our friend, that thou wilt cause us to come as sinners before thee, with our hearts touched with the feeling of our sins and our failings, yet that we may come boldly to that throne of grace, bold in that knowledge that thou dost still receive sinners, and that thy mercy and that thy love may be shed abroad in our hearts. We may know those encouragements to come just as we are, though we are poor, sinful creatures of the earth. Yet we come on mercy's ground, pleading not our own merits, for we have none worth pleading, but pleading the name of Jesus. Oh, that name which is above every name, that name that the Father delights to hear his children plead, and praying that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, is it not a time of need with each one of us? As we think of our latter end, our never-ending eternity. And Lord, we're on the brink. We know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. The old must die, the young may die. Then may it be, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Oh, then may that work be performed in hearts even this day. May a few poor sinners be enabled by thy grace to look away from themselves and look in faith toward the Lord Jesus, his finished work, his precious blood shed for sinners. Oh, that life, a spotless life, so needful for us if we are to be found in heaven at last. A life that we couldn't live, lived for his people. Oh, that we may be brought to lay claim to it. Persuade us of it. Lord, we pray, may evidences be confirmed. May hearts be touched for the first time. May hearts be touched again. Lord, we pray, show us a token for good. Grant us those tokens for good, we pray, that they may be those encouragements to us that we are born of God, that we are numbered amongst thy children, though we may feel at times so little evidence is in our own hearts ourselves. Oh, yet we thank thee for that word, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, then, Lord, do so work in our hearts. May thy love be shed abroad in our hearts. May love flow in return. May that love that constrains, that love that compels, that love that draws be found flowing this day. Oh, that there may be those constrained to take up the cross and to follow thee, made obedient, made willing, for thy people shall be willing in a day of thy power. Oh, then, Lord, do give that spirit of humility and grace, and Lord, do increase our faith. Oh, we mourn our little faith. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt increase it. Oh, that thou wilt build us up in our most holy faith, that thou wilt bless the church here, Lord, that thou wilt enlarge their hearts. Oh, that thou wilt pour out thy blessing upon them, that thou wilt, Lord, grant a gathering into the church from the congregation, and a gathering in from the neighbourhood into the church, that there may be that building up to thy honour and glory. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless this place. Take not thy Holy Spirit from them. We thank thee for what thou hast done, and pray that thou wilt continue to be gracious further still. Oh, have mercy upon each one. Leave none out. Pass none by. Oh, may not a hoof be left behind, but do gather into that great sheet all who gather here. And may we each be found in heaven at last. So, Lord, do forgive us our sins. Do wash us in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Do help us to live day by day, leaning upon thee. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we pray that thou wilt lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, and hold us fast, keep us near to thee. Oh, grant us that close walk with thee, that we may not be found at a distance. Oh, but we may know that nearness. Lord, do speak to us then through thy word this day. May we hear to the profit of our souls. May faith be mixed with our hearing. May it be the words of a king, in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh, may there be much done this day in thy holy name, that eternity will testify of this gathering in thy house this day. O Lord, we pray then, have mercy upon us. We pray for each who gather. Thou knowest their cases, their concerns. Thou knowest, Lord, how they've come. Thou seest us exactly as we are. May there be some who have come with that desire, sir, we would see Jesus. Some coming hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Although some with an aching void the world just cannot fill. And, O Lord, may empty hearts be filled, may strength be given, may hope and faith and grace be given. And, O Lord, do send us not empty away, that we may not leave the things that we hear behind, but that they may be fixed in our hearts, find that abiding place in us. There may be something to take home, something to live on in the coming days. Lord, we pray, for thou hast said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Oh, may we be amongst them. May that word be treasured up in our hearts. Lord, we have to confess how foolish we are, how soon we would cast it aside. Except thou, Lord, fix it in our hearts. Oh, do make thyself precious to us. Do make thy word precious to us. Give us that appetite for it. Lord, we pray. We thank thee for all thy mercy. We thank thee for the children, the Sunday school, the young people, Lord, the rising generation. We pray that thou be with them in all the evil that abounds, in all the uncertainty, the trouble that is in our day. Oh, we pray that thou help them and comfort them, and may they be found looking to thee. And Lord, we pray that thou put thy fear in their hearts, they may not depart from thee all the days of their lives, that they may ever be found in thy house. There may be those here that will be pillars in thy churches. Lord, we ask that thou would remember them. So help us, we pray, and be with us now as we turn to thy word. And may thy word be suited and fitted to meet each case. May we know the application of it by thy Spirit. May it be used here and there according to thy will, and for the good of each one of us. Lord, we pray that the hard cases may be met, that seekers may be encouraged to continue knocking, that seekers may be finders even this day. The Lord, thou knowest what must be accomplished, and we seek thy honour and glory in all things. Do forgive us all that we ask amiss. Lord, there are many things not prayed for, we feel, but do make up in giving. Do encourage each to cast their care upon thee. Lord, do have mercy upon us. We ask for pardon of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy Spirit guide. Hymn 904.
Thank you.
turn with me to the book of Esther, chapter 5. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the second verse. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the sceptre. The book of Esther, chapter 5, the second verse. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the sceptre. This was a day of great trouble to not only the Jews, but to Esther. We read in the fourth chapter of that decree that had gone forth under the influence of that evil man Haman, that decree to put to death, to kill, to destroy, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. A day was fixed that there should be this great slaughtering of the Lord's chosen people, the Jews. And it would seem that day by day the plan seemed to be flourishing. And Mordecai, we read, rent his clothes, and all the Jews in great distress. We don't really understand the day that these things are set in. It's not a day like 2017. There was so much more power given to one man, the king. And so little esteem of life. Life was just dismissed so at will, so glibly sometimes. Some of these old kings were despotic. They were crazy in their actions sometimes. And Mordecai sitting in the king's gate in sackcloth. Well, it wasn't allowed. It wasn't permitted. Somebody to be cast down. Somebody to outwardly display such sadness. How could they be in the presence of the king, or being that close to the king's palace? It wasn't permitted. And Esther, she sends these clothes that he may have them put on him. But he refuses. He refuses. Such is his sad state, so cast down as he is. But Esther is forced, in a way, through these circumstances. She has, on one hand, a love to her people. She is a Jewess. She has a love to her uncle, Mordecai. These things are distressing to her. She hears of this decree that has gone forth. But on the other hand, what can she do? What hope has she got? Mordecai says, go, speak to the king. She says, well, how can I? I can't just go in there. Whoever goes into the king's court uninvited could be put to death. How can I just go in? Oh, I haven't found favour in his mind. He hasn't called me to be with him for nearly a month. I haven't seen him for nearly a month. He may well have forgotten who I am. May well have dismissed me. Should she wait? You know, 30 days. Should she wait her time longer? Yeah, we think of her in this. Oh, she's caught between two things. A desire, a need. There's a needs must. Mordecai is urging her on behalf of the people to approach, to say something. He says, who knows and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Is this the Lord's will? Are you there? Near to the king for this very reason. So many ifs, and so many buts, and so many maybes. And isn't that like our little lives? It's full of ifs, buts, and maybes. But beloved friends, God is in control. God is ordering all things. Yes, there must be a venturing. And sometimes, beloved friends, there has to be a venturing uninvited. And what do I mean? Well, she could have sat there and waited and waited. But she looks back, 30 days, he's not asked me to come. But I can wait, I can wait, I can wait. But, you know, if it's an urgent, if it's a pressing case, oh, can there be a waiting? When there is a glimmer of hope, and what is it? The golden scepter? Well, it's not definite I may perish. He may reach out that golden scepter. He may. Receive me. And so with this, the pressing need upon her, her situation so pressing upon her, her resolve is this, that she will go forth. I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. I know it's not. And if I perish, I perish. Oh, there's the case, the urgency outweighs this law. And so there her resolve is to go. And if I perish, I perish. Well, we have, don't we? Esther, then, putting on her royal apparel and venturing into the inner court, in fear, in trembling, will he receive me? Will I find favour in his sight? Will I be received? And it was so. When the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. Well, maybe in your life, providentially, this is with you. You need to find favour in somebody's sight, whether it's at work or it's at school or whatever. But you see, something's needed. And you see somebody able to give it. But how can the two things come together? You need to find favour in his sight. Well, may you remember this. May this stand out from our reading this morning. Oh, that It's going, venturing on him, going in prayer. We don't have the mention of prayer, but we have this fasting. The Jews, Mordecai, and Esther, and her handmaidens, they're all fasting. And may you and I commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. It's not that he might, or he maybe he will. He'll bring to pass those things according to his will. To commit your life into his hand, to truly pray what he taught his disciples to pray, thy will be done. You know, if we were to begin each day with that little prayer, thy will be done. Lord, whatever thy will is for me, oh, I feel submission, agreement in my heart, whether it's losses, crosses, whether it's joys, and great blessings, whatever thy will is, thy will be done. Lord, thy will be done. Well, to venture, knowing that the hearts of all men are in his hand. All things, circumstances, people, laws of physics, the whole universe in his hand, at his disposal. A word from his lips, he formed this earth. How able he is, to deliver, to help, to uphold his people. Yea, how willing he is. May you be encouraged to try what your poor prayers can do. You see a mountain before you, an impossibility. It's looming large. The mountain seems to be growing bigger the nearer you get to it. To pray for faith, to pray for grace, to pray the Lord will have mercy, that the Lord will make that mountain away. He says, I will make all my mountains away. He doesn't guarantee to sweep them out of your way, but he said, I'll make them away. I'll give you strength. If the mountain's to remain, I'll give you strength to walk it, to go through it. Thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And here Esther's given strength. Though fearful of her life, not knowing the outcome, she's given strength to venture. And it was so. When the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. Well, there's more than just this nice story of deliverance this morning. You know, thinking of this obtaining favour. She obtained favour. Beloved friends, if you and I are to reach heaven at last, it's because we've obtained favour in his sight. Now, don't misunderstand me. You won't earn favour. You won't deserve favour. But you will obtain favour. Favour will be shown to you. Favour will be granted to you. You will obtain favour. You will have obtained favour in the sight of Almighty God. And how can we? If we are to receive, if we are to receive from God's hand those things needful for our never dying souls, how can we obtain favour? Well, there must be that bringing to him in need. There must be a venturing on him. The sinner must approach. There must be a coming to him. coming sinners, approaching an almighty God. Oh, they cannot be left to remain at a distance. They must be brought nigh. They must be drawn to him. There's a very similar account in the book of Ruth, and how Ruth obtained favour in the sight of Boaz. But again, what struck me about Ruth, when she ventured into that field, ventured out that day, what drove her? It wasn't persecution of her people, it was hunger. She was needy, she was starving, she was going to perish. If she stayed away, she would have perished. There's no welfare state, no social security. If she didn't receive some handfuls of purpose, she would die. There was a pressing need. She was hungering after those things. But what does she say? Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She knew if her day was to be successful, then she must find grace in the sight of whoever owned or whoever was in charge of that field. And if she was to glean, and if she was to bring back, well, the sign of her gleaning, being able to glean, and the sign of her finding grace was that she would be permitted to glean, and she would take away something with her at the end of that day. But she knew, as she ventured, what was it? Oh, if I let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whom I'll pay. Well, she can't. She's got nothing to pay. The only way she will receive something is on the grounds of her finding grace in the sight of the owner of that field. And how it is with you and with me, if we are ever to receive something from the Word of God, from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're ever to find something to live on, to feed on, it is on the same grounds. It's entirely on that same ground of finding grace in his sight. The Lord pitying us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. It must be on that one ground and one ground only. It's on mercy's ground, because he would have mercy. She saw other gleaners gleaning. They had found grace. They were able to glean. Would there be room for me? Would I find acceptance in his sight? It's one thing to find acceptance with the other gleaners. The more gleaners in that field, the less to go around, but not so. Not so in the gospel field. Oh, there's provision for all gleaners, all those that feel a need. And so with Esther, she's venturing on the same ground. I need to find grace. I need to find favour in his sight. Ruth, I need to find grace. I need to find favour in his sight. Oh, and both these venturing ones found favour, found grace. Oh, what did Ruth say? Oh, she said, she fell on her face. when Boaz spoke to her, when he spoke so lovingly to her, when he looked upon her and those words came forth, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Why would she find grace in his sight? How could such an outcast be found finding favour in his sight? You know, the lowest of the low, the gleaners were low in men's eyes. It wasn't a nice thing to do, gleaning, backbreaking, humbling, humiliating, scrabbling around on the floor for a few ears. But so deep is the need that they're grateful for a crumb here and a crumb there. And so poor and so unable to pay that they're so pleased to receive even a crumb. I wonder if there are any here this morning who could, from an honest heart, say, Lord, give me a crumb of mercy. Lord, I crave. Oh, you feel to be the most beggarly here in Swavesey this morning, the most undeserving here. Oh, but you say, don't turn me away empty. Oh, do grant me something to take home. Oh, give me something. Oh, something that will encourage, something that will show that I've obtained mercy, that I found favour, something, Lord, to feed me. I feel I'm hungering, I've this aching void. I can't fill it anywhere else. It can only be satisfied by thee. And Lord, thou knowest, I've nothing good to bring. I've nothing to pay with. I can't earn it in any way. I'm a stranger. I don't fit in. I look at the people of God and look at myself and my own heart. Well, on the outward appearance, I might look, I fit in this morning. But in here, I feel not to fit in. Oh, but I must have something. Just give me Christ or else I die. Oh, I have this urgent, mine's an urgent, pressing case. If I perish, I perish. Oh, but I must come. I must come. Oh, I've got to find favour. I must find favour. On the other hand, you say, I can't find favour. Satan says you won't find favour. But your aching heart says, I must find favour. Oh, I can't live like this any longer. I must know. Lord, decide that doubtful case. Lord, put it out of question. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thoughts. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Oh, Lord, decide it. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. And so it was when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favour in his sight. Oh, and how can you, and how can I, ever think we will find favour in his sight? You know, the secret for us is in verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. She didn't come in her own clothes. She didn't go into her wardrobe and choose out what she had of herself. She put on her royal apparel. She put on that was given to her by him in whose sight she desired to find favour. Oh, you see, beloved friends, there is the secret. She put on what he had provided. When a sinner, by faith, is able to plead the name of Jesus at the throne of grace, though he may be vile, wretched and undone, that when he pleads the name of Jesus, he pleads who Jesus is and what Jesus did. He pleads that life that Jesus Christ lived for his people. And beloved friends, this king, seeing Esther approaching, standing in that robe given by him, it pleases him. It pleases him. It's the gift he had given her. And she has esteemed it so highly in her array of clothing that she has put it on. And you see, there's that flowing of love. There's that union. There's a sign from that one who would approach that she prizes what was given. She esteems it. She must find favour. She's won chance. And is life or death with her. And she chooses what the king gave her as that outward covering. And there she stands. And there she finds favour. Oh, friends, there is the secret. I said, if you and I are to obtain favour, it won't be what we've done. It won't be how our ability to pay. We can never pay. We can never obtain this favour by paying, by doing penance, by doing works. Works will come, but works won't buy. Works won't purchase. It's to obtain mercy on the grounds of the mercy of God. It is to obtain mercy on the grounds of having nothing, yet pleading that name which is above every name. That robe of righteousness, that royal apparel, that raiment of fine needlework that the Lord Jesus weaved from the manger to the cross, a robe of the most finest needlework, threads of gold, a beautiful garment. Oh, it's without price, it's priceless. Oh, but it's freely given. The king, Esther didn't pay for that robe. He gave it to her. And there she ventures, dressed in it. Oh, then may you and I seek his righteousness. The self-righteous, there's no place for them at the throne of grace. Oh, if you're coming dressed in your own fig leaf garment, however well you've woven it, it's still trash compared to the robe of Christ's righteousness. It will avail you nothing. It will buy you no favour. You will be banished. Friend, how camest thou in hither, having not on a wedding garment? You'll be turned out. What an insult. If you're invited to one of these Eastern weddings where the father of the bride or the groom, he provides for his guests not just an invitation, but the clothing that they should wear at that wedding. What an insult to dismiss that gift and go in your own clothing. Think you'll find favour? A robe is provided. A robe of righteousness is given. And do you think the Lord will be pleased when we dismiss it and turn in our own? Oh, the acceptance then. The obtaining favour. Obtaining favour in his sight. Oh, it's through the Lord Jesus. Because that robe of righteousness, woven by the Lord Jesus, what is seen then as a sinner approaches an almighty God? What is seen? It's he instead of me is seen. That's the beauty of the door of mercy, the throne of grace. Oh, that's the beauty of it. The sinner can approach. The sinner approaches. But God, who cannot look upon sin, how can the two come together? How can the golden scepter be held out? How can that sinner touch the end of that scepter? How can the two be brought together? Well, there's only one mediator, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Oh, and there the sinner and an almighty God are brought together in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, in that royal robe, in what he has done. Oh, there is therefore now no condemnation. The law says you cannot approach. The law says to Esther, she cannot approach uninvited. Oh, but dressed in that royal apparel, she finds favour in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near. Oh, to draw near. She's standing afar off. She's at the other side of the court. The king sees her. The golden scepter's hand held out. And Esther, she closes in with him. She comes closer to him. Oh, there's boldness given. You know, will I perish? Will he have favour upon me? Will he have mercy upon me in my heart? Oh, the fears, the doubts, the anxious thoughts. Satan says, don't even approach. You don't want to hear your condemnation now. Stay away. You don't want to hear the rejection now. But the aching heart says, I must know now. Oh, I must know. I've an ever-ending eternity. I've my sinful heart. I've my mountain of sin. Oh, I must know. I must find the answer. Will I find grace? Will that golden scepter be held out? Will I then draw near? Will the sinner close in with the Saviour? He who has all that she needs. You know, this king had everything. Everything she needed. He only had to speak the word, and all that she needed would be brought about. And is it not with that poor trembling sinner? everything he needs, everything she needs, for today, for tomorrow, for eternity, providence and grace, everything there, the whole of her need is there. Lord, I must come, I must approach. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Oh, what joy. What joy she must have felt in her heart when his hand held out that scepter. Oh, that sign that she can approach. That sign, that token. That's what it was. It was a token to her. It was a clear indication to her that she had found favour in his sight. A clear evidence to her that he would give to her that time, give to her his ear, to hear her complaint, to hear her request. And she came to him because she believed he could deliver her and give her the answer to her request. Oh, so that is it, isn't it? Oh, to come approaching to an almighty God, persuaded that he is able. He is able to deliver. You say, will he? Will he? Oh, will he? Will he turn? Will he smile upon me? The hymn writer says, I read my name upon his breast. That's upon the breast of the Lord Jesus, and see the Father smile. Oh, the mercy. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a mediator. We have that way, a new and living way. Oh, the way marked out with blood. We have hope in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The law, there's no mercy. But in the gospel, there's mercy. The law says the soul that sinneth against God must die. Oh, but the gospel. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The golden scepter held out, that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Abel cried out from the earth when it was shed on this earth. It cried out for vengeance. And the blood of Jesus Christ, when spilt upon the earth, cried out to heaven, mercy. Father, forgive them. Oh, pass by them. Punish me. It cried out, mercy. Oh, sweet smelling savour, the sacrifice ascending to the Father. And the Father pleased. Justice was satisfied. The debts were paid. And an acceptance found for all these poor sinners in that covenant of grace. And you, are you one and am I one? Have you any evidences? Has the Lord caused you to approach to him? Starving maybe. Or pressed with cares and concerns. Maybe providential at first. But you approached with your little problem. Well, it's little compared to your soul's eternity, but you came, you ventured, you obtained. Have you ever obtained mercy at the throne of grace? Something, you say it's insignificant now. I lost something, I couldn't find it, I needed it. You approached, you obtained mercy. Oh, is there not encouragement to you this morning to pray on? If you found mercy then, if the golden scepter was held out then, if you approached then, you were a sinner then, you're a sinner now. You didn't obtain mercy because you were a less of a sinner then. You obtained mercy through the Lord Jesus. He took your cause upon himself. He made it his own. Will he not do it again? Oh, will he not do it again? You say, but I'm more sinful now. I've lived more days upon this earth. I've failed more. But it wasn't in any way down to what you had done that obtained you those mercies, those helps in the past. And it will never, ever be from what you have done, for will you obtain further mercies, further helps. It's all on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what he has done. And I say, oh, what a mercy if you and I can trace out a few times where we have ventured in need to him and found grace in his sight. Grace in his sight. Oh, we rest, don't we? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Not a despotic king who would change his affections at a whim. An almighty God whose love to his people is unchanging, unaltering, unerring, ever faithful. And it was so. When the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the sceptre. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day, which were for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre, amounted to £1,055.03, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parish will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper to church members after the evening service. And Mr. Fred Ince will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Philip Warren next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 335. Poor angry bosom hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. Hymn 335.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.